things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to Divisional Week of Bleeding Green and Gold. My name is Sean Reagan. I am the son and the father and son duo. Unfortunately, Mike will not be joining us this week. He and his wife, my mother, Marcia, are on a vacation in the Bahamas, so we will not be seeing them. I'm sure they enjoyed watching the game from the cruise ship, though. So, we do have an email here that I'll share from Mike, kind of get his thoughts on the game quick. But to jump right into it here, the Packers are moving on to the NFC Championship. What a game for the Green Bay Packers. Really just kind of a lot of old ghosts came back to haunt the Packers with the way these playoffs lined up, where it was once again the Packers having to beat Seattle to try to further their hopes in the playoffs. And I think there's just been so much doubt and worries that, you know, as a 13-3 team, we were going to go into the playoffs and see the Packers just lay an egg. Too many fans have been burnt in the past few years, especially with the Seahawks. There was the Fail Mary game. There was the game in the playoffs where we dominated. By far, we were an underdog in that championship game a few years back against the Seahawks. We dominated that game for 55 minutes, and then Russell Wilson did what Russell Wilson does, and I think everyone knows how that game ended in overtime for the Seahawks fans. So to end this game, the final score was 28-23 Packers. Going into halftime, it was 21-3, you know, decisive lead for the Packers going into halftime, but I don't think any Packer fan felt all that comfortable after the fact, because we've seen what this Seahawks team can do, and sure enough, they did claw their way back into it to have a good chance at this and to, you know, really make the Packers have to want to win it and to hold on. But it was a great performance overall from the Green Bay Packers. I think where they really shined this game was on defense. Rodgers and Adams and even Aaron Jones had a decent game. They got the offense moving. They did what had to be done on offense. But once again, I think just going back to what we've looked at all year from this team, it was the defense that really solidified this win. Blake Martinez had a great game. Jair Alexander with a great game. The Smith brothers also had a great game. Za'Darius Smith was all over the field. Preston Smith, we didn't really see him pretty much all game until the end. He got that sack on third down to pretty much seal it for us. So I can't describe how happy I am about being able to watch a winning season with the Packers and then go into the playoffs and lean on the defense. How long has it been that we've been asking for a defense with this team? A defense that not even can carry the team, but can hold other teams to under 24 points to give Rodgers a chance to go out there and do what he does best. So there's been a lot of talk about Rodgers not being the quarterback he used to be. He's getting old, things like that. But I think what we've seen from this team is that he's not the quarterback of old, but he also doesn't need to be. This Packers team is built differently. Looking at the Seahawks and how the Seahawks, you know, came into this game, and then how they had to claw their way back in the second half on the back of Russell Wilson, it kind of gave me flashbacks to the peak years with Aaron, where we have a Swiss cheese defense where we can't stop people. They move it down the field, they score, and we have to hope Aaron Rodgers can, you know, light up the field, throw four touchdowns, 300 plus yards every game, and outscore teams that are also doing the same to us. When our defense can go out there and have a solid game, we held them to 3 points in the first half. And this is a team that, you know, say what you will about the Seahawks this year, how they've won most of their games, how close they've been, but they, at this point in the season, are able to be playing in the divisional round of the playoffs any team that makes it to that point is one of the top teams in this league. And the Packers went in there and they played as a complete team and they came out with the win. Your Green Bay Packers, 13-3 season, came into the playoffs, number 2 seed, have now taken down the Seattle Seahawks in Lambeau and are going to San Francisco for the championship game. We won't touch too much on the San Francisco game at the beginning here. We'll touch more on it at the end of the episode just because I think there's a few points I want to make about this game. I think a lot of people are very nervous in Packer fandom about how this is going to go, partly because of how we've been hurt in previous seasons with the 49ers, where it was Colin Kaepernick and just, you know, the inability of the Packers to stop the mobile quarterback. That's not something we've seen this season. It's something they've really adapted to other teams' play styles very well. And I think there is a number of reasons that Packer fans should be more hopeful going into San Francisco than maybe they are at this point. So we'll touch on that later in the episode. But first off, I just kind of want to jump into it here. I'm going to read off Mike's email from their ship. It was hard to stay focused on the game. We were at the casino bar and a lot of people wanted to talk to us, probably because we were the only people who had jerseys on. Hell of a game. And Adams, wowza. The dude who filled in for Bulaga, Valdir, had a great game. It was your mom's kind of game. They almost lose it, but they pull it off in the end. I was really happy with the play calling. I thought it was a bad call by Carroll to punt it at the end of the game and give the ball back to the Packers. The Smith brothers had a huge game, and Jimmy Graham is finally finding the fountain of youth, had a great game against his former team, and the refs finally let them play. So then looking forward here, Mike brings up that the 49ers, it's hard to not be concerned about our last game with them. Hopefully everyone, including our coaches, are better prepared. So that's the email from Mike here. A little bit of it I had to piece together. They have the all-inclusive drink package on the ship. So we have some broken sentences, some kind of cut-off lines and stuff, but I think I did a great job with it. And I also don't know if Mike will be back for next week's episode. I think they're getting back shortly after the game, so I'm guessing he'll be here in time for us to do the podcast together. So just to kind of jump into it here, big game for Davante Adams. I think we're really seeing he wasn't out very long with that turf toe injury. I think it was 4 weeks he was out, but then even once he came back, we were looking at a very much diminished Davante Adams, and it looks like he's coming back to full health here. He had 8 catches on 11 targets for 160 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was the main receiving threat in this game for the Packers, but they didn't really need anyone else because they could not cover Adams. Every time he was out there, it felt like he had separation on the defender. The next leading receiver was Jimmy Graham. He had 3 catches on 4 targets for 49 yards. Nothing huge from Jimmy Graham this game, but the 3 catches he did have were big catches. They were catches at big moments. The last one was also kind of a low throw from Rodgers that Graham was able to haul in, and it's exactly what we've been hoping to see from Jimmy Graham all year up until this point. We don't need him to be the speed guy, the burner, who's going to come out and just, you know, run past the defense. That's not who Jimmy Graham is. It's not really who he's ever been, but especially at this age, it's not something we can expect. But this is the first game, I think, all season that Jimmy has come out and been the Jimmy Graham we have been hoping to see him be in Green Bay, where he gets those possession catches when Rodgers needs a guy to go to. Jimmy's there. Rodgers knows he can trust him. He knows that Graham's going to have solid hands to haul it in and to get that first down, to get that play when we need it. We haven't seen that all season from Graham. It's been drop passes, you know, just inconsistency all around. And so to finally see Jimmy get that game, as Mike mentioned in his email, it's great to see. And we talk all the time on this show about you need to play your best football in December and January. It doesn't really matter how you got the record you have as long as you make the playoffs. So all this talk about the Packers winning ugly this season, you know, more power to them, win ugly. Especially in the playoffs, almost everyone wins ugly. the game of football, the way the NFL is set up, kind of changes once we get to the playoffs, where, you know, you have this burn it down offense on a lot of teams. They can put up points. Maybe they don't have the best defense. Other teams, you know, they rely on their defense to get turnovers, kind of a scoring defense, but they don't have the best offense. Those are the teams that don't make it to this point in the year. And if they do make it, they don't typically go very far in the playoffs because that's not what they're built for. Playoff football in the NFL is a completely different beast. You need a solid defense. The Packers have that. You need a consistent and solid running game. The Packers have that. More than anything, you need your defense to not give away the ball and to create turnovers. And that's something that the Packers have also had this season. So I think just the way that we are set up to go into this championship game with the Niners and then possibly onto a Super Bowl, the Packers are set up in a way that they can win these close games and they can beat anybody. So don't look at the fact that we got blown out by the 49ers and just, you know, kind of hang your hat and going into Sunday thinking that there's no way we can win. We beat the Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson, we've seen, can beat anyone. They were, delay a game penalty inches away from beating the Niners at the end of the season. So if the Seahawks can beat them and then we beat the Seahawks, you know, there's always that kind of convoluted math on we beat them, but they beat us, all that. All you need to know is anybody can beat anybody on any given Sunday. And that's what I'm looking forward to this next game. So looking further at it here, Rodgers was 16 for 27, 243 yards. And then on the opposite side, Russell Wilson, 21 of 31 for 277 yards and a touchdown. Two touchdowns for Rodgers, no interceptions. And, you know, you don't want to say game manager when it comes to Aaron Rodgers because that has, you know, so many connotations around it. And that's definitely not something that Aaron's going to be known for being a, you know, manage the ball, manage the game clock quarterback. But that's more what he has become this season for the Packers. And I think that's what he needs to be, especially if we're not going to see him be quite as athletic as he's been earlier in his season. He needs to be that guy under the helm that can, you know, go out there and make sure that the team does what it's supposed to do and don't make stupid mistakes, don't have stupid turnovers, anything like that. And speaking of managing a game and running it well with no turnovers, there was no turnovers by either team in this game. And really, that's what it comes down to, I think, more than anything in playoff football. Turnovers and who can capitalize on their possessions and who can make more possessions for themselves. Because the Packers have not been a team this season that turns over the ball much at all. There's only been a couple games with multiple turnovers this whole season that we've seen. And when you're in the playoffs, that's kind of the most important thing. Think back to that Niners game where the Packers got blown out this season. We had a strip sack to give them the ball at the 2-yard line, set them up to really just, you know, start the game easy, get that touchdown in. And then I think we went 3 and out 3 times in a row after that. So it was turnovers that really decided that game against the 49ers. And just, I don't care, you know, what team you are, when you start that ugly, turning over the ball on their goal line and then not able to get your offense going and having a couple big plays that you're not able to hit on, you're going to have a hard time beating any team, much less the 49ers, who are arguably the best team in the NFC right now. So going back to another one of the points that Mike made in his email is the guy filling in for Bulaga. There was an illness that went around the Packers locker room this past week. Apparently it hit the practice squad the most, but it did get to Bulaga before this game, and he was unable to play Jared Valdir, who the Packers signed off of retirement just a few weeks ago, stepped in. And according to Pro Football Focus, Jared Valdir didn't allow a sack, hit, or pressure while playing 100% of the Packers' offensive snaps against the Seahawks in place of starting right tackle Brian Bulaga. Again, Valdir was retired 6 weeks ago. GM Brian Gutekunst working his magic. So we've seen that this front office with the Goot is not afraid to go out, get free agents, fill in key roster positions where it needs to be filled by going out and finding who's available, not waiting until, you know, the next draft to take a lottery pick on a position, because draft and develop is great, But that's what the draft is. It's a lottery. You know, you have your picks, which are basically lotto picks. You never know who's going to be a hit, who's going to be a miss. We've seen that year after year after year, that you have these paid expert scouts, whether it's on ESPN, NFL Network, or in the actual NFL that are hired by these teams to be scouts. They don't know what they're talking about half the time. It is not, you know, who can jump the highest, who can run the best 40, things like that, that typically translates into the most success in the NFL. It's the intangibles, and it's guys who are able to come in and play NFL football, because this is a different game than a lot of guys play in college, and not everyone's skill set translates. But the fact that the Packers had Valdir available to fill in for Bulaga is just crazy, the way he played. I was very happy seeing that. Elgton Jenkins is another stud for our offensive line that hasn't been there in previous seasons. He's had a crazy good year at rookie. I know when we looked midway through the season, he hadn't allowed any pressures on the quarterback or allowed any sacks up to that point. I'm sure that's not the case anymore, but as a rookie, especially on the offensive line where it takes a lot longer to translate into good play, typically than it does with some other positions, people coming from the college level and going into the NFL. Linemen typically take the longest to adjust because line play is so much different and pretty much simplified in college, and a lot more is asked from a player in the NFL. A few other positions like that, like I think wide receiver takes a little bit longer. Corner, you typically see them coming around their third season to really be kind of filling that full potential. So when we look at the Packers' offense this game, there's nothing huge to look at as far as what they did against the Seahawks, if they changed anything. How they adapted at halftime, they went out and they were consistent. You know, they ran the ball with Jones. He, you know, didn't blow the game apart. He ended up with 62 yards on 21 rushes. So they still gave him the touches, but he only averaged 3 yards a rush. He got his two touchdowns because, as we have seen all season, Aaron Jones has a knack for finding the end zone. But he didn't have a great average per run because the Seahawks, you know, really keyed in on him. I think it's something that I expected them to kind of focus more on stopping the pass, and they really sold out for the run this game. And it was very much the opposite for the Packers, where if you look at the rushing game for the Seahawks, Marshawn Lynch had 2.2 yards per run. He had 26 yards on 12 attempts. The lead rusher by far was Russell Wilson, who had 64 yards on 7 rushes. And that's just the Russell Wilson factor. You know, he's a guy that just knows how to make magic happen on the field. We've seen it many times before from the Seahawks, and I'm sure we'll be seeing it again with Wilson. But if you take him out of their rushing game, you know, really just stifled the Seahawks on the line, especially after the, maybe not after the first quarter, but after halftime. How much can you really be running the ball if you are calling plays for the Seattle Seahawks, because you are behind against the Green Bay Packers in the divisional game, and you're behind against Aaron Rodgers? You need to be throwing the ball to try to make things happen. That's what we saw from Wilson in the second half. And, you know, yeah, he went out there, he made some big plays, gave the Seahawks a chance to come back against the Packers. But that's the Russell Wilson factor. That's going to happen every time. We don't need to rely on Rodgers to go in there and burn down the house and, you know, carry this team, because we have so many studs on defense. We have Aaron Jones to be consistent in the running game. We have Adams, the star wide receiver. There's a lot of talent around Rodgers on this team that we haven't had before. And we were kind of seeing glimpses of how the Packers used to rely on Rodgers so heavily for the wins with the Seahawks, where so many areas of their game were struggling and they had to rely on Wilson for the win. And when you do that, it's going to be a coin toss on if a guy can go in there and single-handedly, you know, get you the win. And Russell Wilson wasn't able to force Seattle this game. Packers defense did pretty well, I think, defending the pass. They didn't let the top get taken off of them by DK Metcalf. I think that was my biggest worry with Kevin King at safety against DK Metcalf. I was worried that they would go, you know, deep ball against King, maybe beat him a time or two with Metcalf, and then all of a sudden the whole Packers defensive game plan is kind of out the window because they need to focus on stopping these giant chunk plays. But Metcalf didn't get past him at any point. His longest catch was for 24. Lockett had a couple good catches. He had 9 receptions for 136 yards and a touchdown. Overall, though, the Packers did everything they needed to do. Definitely had the ball moved on them a little bit in the second half, but nowhere that you thought, you know, this is something that our defense was falling apart. Guys were not missing their assignments. They were where they were supposed to be, doing what they were supposed to do. They were just defending against a Seattle Seahawks offense that knew their backs were against the wall and they had to go all out. So that's what you were seeing for most of this game. And I think once again, the Packers defense came up big and just showed how we've gotten to be 13-3 at this point with what for most of the year has been a very subpar offense. So once again, Packers defense getting them the win. Let's look at some of the stats here. Time of possession, pretty much even at just around 30 minutes for both teams. Total first downs, 22 for the Packers, 23 for the Seahawks. A lot of the stat lines across the board here, very even. Net yards, total net yards for the Seahawks, 375, 344 for the Packers. Rushing yards, 110 for the Seahawks, 109 for the Packers. Keep in mind, over probably half of the Seahawks' rushing yards are coming from Russell Wilson breaking out of the pocket. Let's see. And another big factor, and this isn't going to sound like anything big because we also didn't see much from him at all this game, where I think Tyler Irvin had one punt return, definitely more kickoff returns, but it was only like 6 yards on the punt return. And that is a factor to keep in mind going into this San Francisco game that we did not have. We had Tremont Williams getting negative yards on most returns at this point in the season when we played the Niners, and that's not going to be the case here anymore. So I think that's a huge thing to look at here because those are the hidden yards that make a difference. When you have a guy get negative yards like Williams was, it doesn't seem like a huge deal if he gets negative 5 yards on a punt return a time or two in a game. But if you look at those hidden yards as they add up throughout the game, now, you know, flip that over and let's say Tyler Irvin's out there. He gets 3 punt returns next game against the Niners for 15 yards, 1 return, 10 yards another, 5 yards another. That's 30 yards in this game that Rodgers didn't have to go out there. Aaron Jones didn't have to go out there and get themselves. So those hidden yards make a huge deal. And that's just another one of the ways that things fell apart for the Packers when we played San Francisco this last time. I want to touch on defense a little bit here before we move on. Blake Martinez, just all around good game. You know, he was everywhere you wanted him to be. Savage, I thought, had a pretty good game. Nothing jumped out at me at safety. We talked about Kevin King not getting beat over the top by Metcalf. Kenny Clark, I think before this game, they were saying that he was coming in around 60 to 65% health, but that he would be able to play, and just came in and had a monster game in the middle of that defensive line. He's playing injured and he had a sack, but he also had some of the key stops in this game. So I think Kenny Clark, definitely one of the studs on defense for us. Za'Darius Smith was just flying around from the get-go. You saw him on defense, always, you know, going for that, diving for the sack if he can't get it, you know, trying to get past that last defender, never giving up on the play. He ended up this game with 2 sacks. Preston Smith with 2 sacks as well. So, you know, we've seen the difference that the front office has made by bringing in the Smith brothers this season. This is our sole playoff game of the season. The Smith brothers are now averaging 4 yards a playoff game for us. You can't quantify that kind of difference that makes to a defense and that makes to a team. Not to mention just the culture change that we've seen from them. I think mainly led by Za'Darius Smith from what we've seen, that he has come in and said, you know, this is the culture and this is the personality that this team is going to have. We're going to go out there, we're going to suffocate teams, and we're going to be a defensive team. And so, you know, I think we're finally seeing this team in every facet of what they're trying to do come together. And it's just really exciting. It's, you know, you don't need to play your best football throughout the season. And a lot of times teams are hot throughout the year and then they cool off and they, you know, they either don't make the playoffs or they get bounced out early. We've seen that many times with the Packers where they go in with a great record, but then just look cold, you know, look slow, look out of it. And you're not quite sure what happened. The Packers are heating up and becoming one of the best teams in the league as we got into the playoffs here. You know, they're getting hot in December, getting ready for the games that matter most. This is not the Packers team we saw in week 1, week 6, week 10, even as late as week 14. This team has been a different team, and they have come together in a different way at the end of the season and the beginning of these playoffs. And so, you know, don't look at them as the Green Bay Packers who are coming off two losing seasons. Don't look at them as the Green Bay Packers who have struggled with Mike McCarthy and have not really seen the true potential that Aaron Rodgers has under center. Don't even look at them as the 13-3 Packers from the season that we just got done watching. Only look at them as the number 2 seed here, because that's what the playoffs are. Once those playoffs start, when you make it to the dance, every team is 0-0. It doesn't matter now, you know, what happened in week 1. It doesn't matter what happened the last time we played the 49ers. What happens is the result of this coming game in San Francisco, and there's a lot of reasons I think we have to be hopeful for. And so let's go over some of the reasons I think Packer fans should be a little more optimistic going into this 49ers game than I think a lot of them are. Number one is something we already touched on with Tyler Irvin. Getting those hidden yards, you know, averaging 9.6 yards per return since he's been on the Packers, that adds up. Those are yards that Rodgers doesn't have to go out there and get themselves. Those are yards that, you know, just increase the odds of the Packers scoring every time they're on offense. And so I think not having Tremont Williams back there is going to be, you know, a bigger benefit to the Packers against the 49ers than most fans expect. The next one is, we talked about how that game started against the 49ers, the strip sack to give them the ball at the 2-yard line, followed by three straight 3-and-outs. We were 1-for-15 on third down conversions in that game. This offense is not the offense that we saw that game. You know, we've talked this season about how the offense really picked up when Adams went out with the turf toe. He was out for 4 games, and this offense really lit up teams in that time and kind of found their rhythm. And then when Adams came back, everything kind of floundered again, where we played the Niners and Adams was back in the lineup, but he is not the Devontae Adams we saw last Sunday. I can tell you that for sure, where turf toe is a lingering injury. It's something that takes a long time to get over, and it's something that, you know, it sounds weird that a toe can be such a factor for an NFL player, but especially at wide receiver, you know, it's the old Randy Moss injury that plagued him for a lot of his season, where when you have to get that initial release, that initial push off, that injury makes a huge factor. So, you know, we're not starting the game the way we did the last time. We're not going to be giving them the ball at the 2-yard line. Our offense is different, and like I said, this is a different team. So that's the second reason I have to be more hopeful about the Packers' chances against the Niners here. The other one is with Bulaga going out, we saw how Valdir stepped in and had a great game. And that's kind of just, I think our offensive line is going to be our biggest strength in this game. The NFL games are won and lost at the line of scrimmage, and we're going to see that here. Bulaga was out last game, but Valdir came in and looked great. Bulaga's looking to probably be back from illness. Bakhtiari and Corey Linsley are probably going to be over any kind of lingering injury they have at this point. So our offensive line is going to be completely solid heading into San Francisco, not to mention Elton Jenkins has had a great year at guard. So I think if you want to look at where we have just a solid group all together, you don't have to worry about any people in that position group. It's our offensive line that they're going to really go out there and be what decides this game and decides if our offense is going to go out there and be able to move the ball, get first downs, convert third downs, and get touchdowns, unlike the last game. It all starts on the offensive line. The last time we played also, going back to Adams, Adams was held to 43 yards receiving. He was coming off that turf toe injury and not playing well. I don't know if we're going to have Lazard this next game. He went out against Seattle with an injury. We haven't seen any more details released yet. I'm recording this later in the day on Tuesday, and we haven't seen the injury report yet, but hopefully Lazard is back. It has been a revolving door at that number two spot anyways, so you know it's something the Packers are ready to adapt for if Lazard can't be back. But just having Adams, we saw how Seattle could not block him. There's been so many teams when Adams is healthy this season that there is no covering him. Whether they double team him or not, there's a 5-yard gap between him and the next defender. So I think having a healthy Davante Adams is going to make a huge difference for the Packers in this game. And, you know, Richard Sherman has had a great year on the Niners defense. He's not going to be on Adams the whole game. Historically, especially since he's been in San Francisco here, Sherman has been on the left side of the defense. So if LaFleur is moving Davante Adams around, they can move him off Richard Sherman, get him on matchups that they like, and try to exploit it. So then one last point I want to make on why Packer fans should be optimistic going into this Niners game is that Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, huge deal to get him in a trade from the Patriots for the Niners. He's who they're looking for as their franchise quarterback. But over the last four games, he's not exactly been, you know, the best quarterback out there. He's not the guy that goes out there and leads a team to victory. Don't get me wrong, he hasn't been bad, but over his last four games, Garoppolo has 4 touchdowns, averaging 216 yards. He has 3 interceptions and 11 sacks. So it's not like he's going out there and being a detriment to the team, but he's also not been kind of that game-deciding factor that you see with a lot of teams like the Russell Wilsons, the Aaron Rodgers, the Drew Brees, where they go out and they're a big part of what decides a game. We haven't seen that with them. Those are my reasons, whether it's our offensive line, Adams being healthy, Tyler Irvin in the return game, Garoppolo not being a burn-down-the-house quarterback, and then also just the fact that this game is, we're not starting after the first quarter of the last game. Like, we're not starting this like, okay, here's how it was after the first quarter of the Packers-49ers matchup, try again. No, we're starting this with 60 minutes on the clock, 0-0. Anything can happen, especially in the playoffs in the NFL. So now let's go over the game picks here. Going back to wild card weekend, Mike took the Texans over the Bills. He got that correct. I had the Bills, and I was feeling confident for most of that game, and then we saw how that turned out. We both picked the Patriots to beat the Titans and got that wrong. We both took the Saints over the Vikings, and then I took the Seahawks, Mike took the Eagles, and so we went into the wildcard weekend tied, and we left wildcard weekend tied once again. So then I had him send me his picks before they went on their trip. We both took the Niners to beat the Vikings and were correct there. I took the Titans, he took the Ravens. Titans were able to get the upset in that game. We both took the Chiefs and both took the Packers. So I am going into this next week up 1. Funny thing is, I actually had the same picks as him on every game, and then he sent me his picks. I'm like, well, we're tied. We can't be the same on every game. Which one would I want to change my pick on? The one I felt most okay about changing was over to the Titans. So I switched to the Titans because I thought that would be a lot closer game than some people thought. They ended up getting the win, putting me on top, up by 1, going into the championship weekend. So then Mike also sent me his picks again today. So championship weekend, we have first game on Sunday is Titans at Chiefs. Mike is taking the Chiefs, and I am taking the Titans, partly just because the Titans did well for me against the Ravens. I'm going to, you know, keep riding that train. And then we're both picking the Packers over the 49ers. So Mike is picking a Super Bowl I rematch between the Packers and the Chiefs, which I think would be pretty, storybook when you look at the fact that the NFL has been advertising all year that this is their 100th season. So if one of the OG teams can go in and then have a rematch of Super Bowl I, where likely, you know, we're going to be seeing the same outcome, Packers on top, Lombardi Trophy going back to Green Bay. I don't think any Packer fan's going to argue with that timeline. So I am up by one going into next week. We differ on the Titans and Chiefs. I have Titans. Mike has Chiefs. And that's going to pretty much decide if I grow that lead or if we're back to tied. And so we didn't do a game ball this week, partly because the sound editing to put in the music for the game ball is something I'm not sure how to do, and I didn't want to finagle and, you know, play around with it until I figured that out. So we're skipping the game ball. I think the whole team as a whole and the fan base, and you know what, all our listeners of Bleeding Green and Gold, you all get a game ball this week. Text in to the show, you know, email us, whatever you want to do, we'll get you out your game ball. So before I close out the show here, I do want to say thank you to all the listeners. We appreciate all the support we get from everyone. We appreciate any time we hear from someone how much the show means to them or that they just love listening to it every week. This is very much a labor of love for my father, Mike, and I. And, you know, we've been doing it, I think this is our fifth year, and it's just something we love to do and we're going to continue doing. If you want to help support us in continuing it, go to iTunes, leave a review, share this with any friends and Packer fans that you know. I know that you have people that you talk to about the games with. Share this podcast with them. You'll have another Packer-related item to talk about. But until then, we are the number 2 seed. We went in and beat Seattle at Lambeau to go to the championship game. It has been an amazing season for Packer fans after multiple years of not even making the playoffs to have this chance to go to San Francisco now and have a shot at going to the Super Bowl. You know, say what you want about the Green Bay Packers this year, but I wouldn't have, you know, traded this season for anything else. So hopefully we're coming back with a win after the next episode and going to the Super Bowl. But until then, go Pack, go!
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go Pack, go!